Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Okay, Shir number 15 in Rambam. Today, in the Book of Mitzvahs, we have a whole bunch of commandments to learn about. We are going to be continuing to study about the prohibition of idolatry. It is not a good thing to do. The first mitzvah we learn about today, Numbers 11, in the negative mitzvahs, was Hora, Shehuzharnu, the prohibition the Torah warns us about, Mila Asot Matseva. Matseva is a monument, a structure. And this was something that was done. Some parts of the world will still do it, but it was once a very popular way to kind of create a focal point for idol worship. And the reason they would build these monuments were sheyitkabtzu eleha v'yichabdua. This way everybody would gather around the monument and they would pay homage to this idolatrous deity. Now, even if it's made for a sacred purpose, in other words, the Rambam says, even if you make a monument to gather people together so that you can serve the God of Israel, the Rambam says you're not allowed to do that. Why not? You're gathering people together, you serve Hashem. He says, "Kidei, in order, shalei nit dame, we will not mimic or appear just like in our service to Hashem, like ovde avodah zarah, like idolaters. So we will not be imitating or replicating a foreign faith system, an idolatrous pagan way. Lefi shekach hayu osim, because this is the way they used to do it. Boni matzevot, they would build these big monuments. The somim et hane'avodim aleim, they would place whatever it was they were worshipping, they would place them on the monument. And the Torah says, v'lo takim lecha matzeva. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 22, it says, you will not establish a monument, v'ha'over alav zeh, one who violates this divine prohibition, chayev malchus. He receives a set of lashes. It is interesting to note that the idea of taking details from foreign faith systems that are not within the framework of Torah, even for the best of intentions, is clearly a violation of God's will. And I leave it to your imagination. Many things have been done over the centuries, particularly over the last century and a half, in which we tragically and unfortunately have had pseudo-Jewish groups who have borrowed or incorporated ideas which are alien to the Jewish faith with the best of intentions. But this is a violation of the 11th mitzvah of the Torah. Mitzvah number 12 is a very similar mitzvah. The Torah says we're not allowed to make avanim mukhanot lehishtachavot aleihem, stone, flagstone, or specially chiseled or designed stone, so that we should prostrate ourselves before some kind of deity. But, the Rambam says, similarly to mitzvah 11 and mitzvah 12, he says, afilu, even if this hishtachavoyah, this bowing or prostration, is Lashem Yisala to the Lord God. The Rambam goes on and says, Vegam zot, this too, like the previous mitzvah, Kidei is an order, Shalom lehidamot la'avodas pesilim, that we will not replicate Chas v'Shalom, or appear to be worshipping an idol as they do. Because this is what they used to do. That was the way they would have avanim mitsuyarot, they would have these artfully designed stone, chiseled stone, and that's what they would place before their idol, and it was upon the stone that they would prostrate themselves and they would bow. And this is encapsulated in the Torah's commandment that's found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, right in the very beginning. The Torah says, Ve'even mashkit, a designed, a chiseled, and an artfully created stone, lo titnu ba'artzechem, you shall not place in your land, lehishtachavot aleha, to bow over it. Over alavze, somebody who violates mitzvah number 12 is also chayiv malchus. Here is the words of the Sifri, the Medrash Halacha that follows the book of Vayikra. Lo titnu ba'artzechem. You're not allowed to place this in your land. Of course, we refer here to the land of Israel. Ba'artzechem einatem mishtachavim ol ha'avanim. In your land, you're not permitted to have these kind of flagstone plazas where you're going to prostrate yourself. You are allowed to do it. So in the Beis HaMikdash itself, they would prostrate themselves and they would bow, but that's permissible. What's not permissible is to do it outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. The details of this particular mitzvah are explained in Masechet Megillah on page 22b, where it talks about building a shul and the differences between worship in a Beit HaKnesset, a modern-day house of worship, and the Beis HaMikdash. So last little detail in Mitzvah Yud Beis is that the Rambam holds that the main problem is to bow, putting your face, prostrate and put your face to the ground. In fact, the Rambam says that what should we do when you have to bow and you have flagstone, you have some kind of stone floor. So he says, then you put something between. There should be a substance between your face and the floor. And that is generally accepted, and that's what we do on Yom Kippur, when we bow down. If you have a shul with a stone floor, you make sure there's something in between, like a piece of paper. The Rambam says that what if you don't have anything in between? He says, then you turn your face. So if you turn your face to the side of your face, then it wouldn't be an issue. The Rama does not agree, and the halacha is like the Rama. At any rate, that's for mitzvah 12. Moving on to the next mitzvah, 13. It is prohibited to plant a tree in the Beis HaMikdash or next to the Mizbeach, even if it is only to make the Mizbeach look more beautiful, just to glorify and beautify the space. You know how to do that. Even if Niskavim Bekach, you intended with this, La'avodas Hashem, to serve the Lord your God. Why? Because Kacha Yimchabdim Gam La'avodazara, that's what they did for idolaters. We all are familiar with the term, it's called an oracle. They used to worship at the tree. Or the Rambam says, they would surround their houses of worship with Eitz and Noam, beautiful trees, Yafin Lamara, which would have a beautiful appearance, Bevote Avodasam, in the houses of their worship. And therefore, we are not permitted to do this. As the Torah says in Deuteronomy 16, verse 21, it is written, Lo sita lecha asherah, you shall not plant an oracle called Eitz l'mizbach Hashem alekecha, any kind of wood near the altar of your God. Ha'over alavze, one who violates this prohibition, chayiv malchus. He is going to be guilty of violating a mitzvah in the Torah and therefore get lashes. The details of this mitzvah are explained in the Gemara of Tamid. And over there it's explained, Shahanatiya b'chol ha-migdash, that the planting of a tree anywhere in the Beis HaMikdash is prohibited, not only next to the Mizbech. Now, the Rambam Mishnah Torah says, Kol Eitz includes, we don't have any wood, any exposed wood, in the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. It is noteworthy that the Kesef Mishnah says this is only an asmachta. He uses the words of the verse to buttress this notion, but it is not a biblical prohibition. Planting trees is biblical. Having wood attached to the building, exposed wood, is not biblical but rabbinic. And therefore, if it's wood which is not attached, like a wood stage, which you know they use in the year of Hakil, this is not a problem at all. The Kesef Mishnah explains that there's a distinction drawn between something which is attached, part of the structure, part of the ground, that it's like a tree, and therefore the rabbis decreed it should not be done. But something which is temporary, it's a wood structure that's brought in, this would not be an issue or a problem. Mitzvah number 185 of the positive mitzvahs. God commands us in His Torah, lehashmid, to destroy. Kol avodah zarah, all idolatry, uvoteha, and their structures. Bechol mini hashmada v'hashchasa, and any kind of destruction and or liberation, whatever it takes, l'shaber, to break, l'sif, to burn, l'haris, to deconstruct, l'chris, to cut down. It depends what you're talking about. Whatever is going to be a more final act of a liberation, that's what you should be doing. And the point is, there should be no remembrance, no zecher that is left over. As the Torah says, Abei ta'abdun, you will surely get rid of all these places. And then the Torah says, Ki imkoi tasu lehem, mizbechoseihem titotsu. This is what you should do to them. You shatter their altars. That's what the Torah says. The Torah further says that vinitatztem, a similar expression, also once again to shatter, mizbechotam, their altars. Now, the Rambam says, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on page 90, side A, it says, Mitzvah Saseh, David Azorah. And the Gemara says, what? A positive mitzvah of idolatry? What are you talking about? How could that be? So the Gemara says, Tirgum Rav Chista explained, that doesn't mean it's a mitzvah to worship Chas V'Shalom idols. There's a positive mitzvah associated with idolatry, namely, v'nitatztem, shatter him, break him, get rid of him. In the language of the Sifri, Medrash Halacha of Chumash Dvarim, minayin ato'em eshem kitzetz asheira. How do you know that if a person truncated, uprooted, an asheira tree, v'hechalifa afilu eser pamim, and it keeps sending new roots up, shechayiv lekatzetz, so you got to keep cutting it down and keep uprooting it. Talmud Lomer, the Pasuk, the verse uses a seemingly redundant expression, abed te'abdun, don't just get rid of it, redundancy, a double expression of get rid of it. In other words, how many times it takes you? You just have to get rid of it. As it is written, v'ibaratam eshmam en amokam ahu, this place should no longer have a lingering memory of what once occupied that spot or what once stood there. Now, the Rambam says, it is written, min hamokam ahu, from that place, which means be'eretz Yisrael, in the whole land of Israel, atam etzuva lirdof achareim, you have this command to pursue and to rout them out. Ve'ein atam etzuva lirdof achareim, you do not have this mitzvah of destroying idols, b'chutz la'aretz. So this is a mitzvah that's applicable in every Jew for all time, but only in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah number 25 of the negative mitzvahs. The Torah warns us, shelo lahosef klum mishal aveda zara al mimoineinu, do not get enriched, you should not become wealthier in any way, shape, or form, meaning don't benefit from idolatry. Ela nisrachik mimenu, distance yourself from it, umibatel, from the structures associated with it, umchol amasyachsinela, anything that is remotely connected to idolatry, like the Rambam says in Mishnah Torah, even if there's decorations, it's not actually an idol, it's just used to glorify, to beautify, to bring some kind of honor. No good. As it is written in the Torah, V'lo tavi to'eva el beitecha, do not bring that abominable thing into your house. I mean, don't enrich your residuals. Don't fatten your bank account with it. V'hanena me'ezu davar mimenu, somebody who benefits from anything that is idolatrously related, loke, gets lashes. In the end of Masechet Makot, page 24, side 8, it explains, ha'mevashel ba'atzi asherah, a person who would cook dinner. And the wood, the firewood, he got from the Asherah, from the idol tree, from the oracle. Lokesh time, he gets two times lashes. Achat meshum lo tavi to'eva el beitecha. One, because you're not allowed to bring this abominable thing into your own personal home. Achas meshum lo yidbak biyodcha me'uma. One, you shall not have anything like that, so to speak, stick to your hand. Now this is something that we already learned about in the 13th Shir of Rambam. That is the 24th mitzvah of the Torah. And I refer you back to the 13th version of Sefer HaMitzvahs to understand the nuances and the differences between these two mitzvahs. Rambam says you have to understand it well, which means that there are subtle distinctions. This mitzvah is explained in great detail in the third chapter of Masechet Avodah Zarah. Mitzvah number 22, the prohibition, we're not allowed to utilize things which are an accoutrement for idolatry. Anything which is in some way decorative, even though it's not idolatrous itself. As it says, "Lo tachmot kesef v'zohav aleim," do not lust the gold or the silver that is upon them. In the Sifra, the Medrash Halacha of Chumash Vayikra explains, Shetzipuye ne'evod, that the covering, which means sometimes it would be a coating of some kind of precious metal over something which is worshipped, that also is prohibited. And the Gemara agrees. The Gemara says, yes, that's exactly the meaning of the pasuk, l'sachmod kesef v'zohav aleim. Hoyved alavze, you violate this prohibition? Malchus. You get a set of lashes. It's explained in great detail, once again, in the third chapter of Masechet Avodah Zarah. Mitzvah number 48. The Torah prohibits us from creating a covenant between us and the pagan idolaters, and to allow them to continue to live peacefully in our land. Now the Rambam says we're talking here about the seven Canaanite nations. That's what we're talking about here. Who are known to be exceptional examples of moral depravement and idolatrous in nature. The Torah says, with regard to these seven nations, Lo tichrot lehem brit, do not strike a covenant, do not make a peace treaty with them. There it is explained, in the positive mitzvah of 187, that the milchama, the battle, the morally mandated requirement to do battle with Shiva Amomin is something that's applicable. Even though in today's day and age, we do not have Shiva Amomin. We don't have these seven nations anymore. But that doesn't mean the mitzvah has ceased to exist. It may mean that the realities have changed. The mitzvah continues to apply. It is part of the eternal inheritance of the Jewish people, the 613 special commandments. And now we go into mitzvah number 50 of the negative mitzvahs. We are not permitted to show some kind of positive emotions, to be favorably disposed to anything related to idolatry. We're not supposed to glorify and praise and speak about the beauty of idolatry. Nothing. Nothing that's unique to this pagan idolatry is allowed to be glorified by a Jew. As it says, v'lo tichonim, which means do not curry favor, do not kind of seek a charismatic relationship to you in these prohibited things. The oral tradition, which is documented in Masechet Avodah Zarah on page 20, goes like this. Lo titen lahem chein. Don't give them grace. Don't give them this charisma or compassion. Va'afilu odom meivdi avodah zarah. Even a person from the idolaters, meaning he represents idolatry, represents that whole system, that whole approach to life. You're not supposed to say, ah, what a beautiful person, what a wonderful personality, what an impeccable way of living, how fine, how dignified. You're not allowed to say that. Can't even talk about physical features, striking physical features, because ultimately that becomes a backward compliment in the end, focusing back to the idol itself. In our Gemara, this is explained, and in the Gemara Aveda of the Yerushalmi, it is said clearly, lo titen lehem chein b'lo tasei. And the Rambam, drawing on both the tradition of Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud, and the tradition of the Jerusalem Talmud, says that this is a negative mitzvah. Mitzvah number 51, we are not permitted to allow idolaters to live in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael, so that we will not learn from their ways, from their atheistic approach to a monotheistic God. But who Amar Yisrael, God says, Leyeshvu ba'artzecha, lest let them not sit in your land, pen yachtiu eischalil, lest they cause you to sin against me. This is found in the book of Shemot, chapter 23, verse 33. Even if this idolater wants to live, sojourn in the land, it's not permitted. Ad, until he accepts upon himself that he will no longer worship idols. V'oz, and after he accepts upon himself that he will no longer worship idols, and he renounces his pagan beliefs, then at that point, Yehemuter lo loder, then he's permitted to live. And this, the Rambam says, is called a ger toshav, like we have a resident alien, a person, what they call in the States, a green card. You're not really a citizen, but nonetheless, you have rights to live in the country. The intention, the Rambam says, is not that he's a ger, he's not a convert to Judaism. It means he has the right to live here. The person who has a green card or a resident alien in Canada, he doesn't have the right to vote, for example. He's not a citizen. He doesn't have the right to run for office. He's not a citizen. He can't be involved in certain levels of government. He can't get jobs in certain areas. He's not a citizen. But he does have a work permit, and he does get social insurance, and he always is going to receive numerous benefits that apply for the citizens of the country as well. So this is a very old idea. In fact, the Torah talks about it. And as we said, this is called the Ger Toshav. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, page 64a, says, Eizehu Ger Toshav, who is a Ger Toshav? Zeshe Kibul Alav, Shola Avod Avodah Zarah. This is the one who accepted upon himself that he will no longer be involved in idolatrous worship, and he renounces those beliefs. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda, according to what we have, our Gemara, it would be Rabbi Meir. Avala oived avodah zarah al yodur, but the one who worships idols cannot live amongst us. It is prohibited to sell him any land and real estate. Although maskina, we don't even rent real estate to him. The explanation is given very, very clear. Lo titi lahem chanoya bekarka, do not allow them to establish a presence in the land of Israel. This mitzvah is explained in Masechet Sanhedrin and in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Of course, this would only be in a time when Yad Yisrael Takifu and the Jewish people really have dominion and really have strength to do as they please, which is in all likelihood not the case today. But this is a subject for another evening. Mitzvah number 30. Once again, a negative mitzvah. It is prohibited for us to imitate and to try to replicate the behavior of the pagan idolaters and to live like them and to try to behave like them. Va'afilu b'malbusham, even to wear similar clothing, v'chinuseim, in their gatherings, b'ulameim, in their halls, in their assembly places. As the Torah says, lo teilchu b'chukot ha'goy, do not follow the statutes of the nation, asher ani mishalech mipneichem, that I am sending away from before you. This commandment is repeated a second time in the Torah. It says, b'chukoteim lo teilechu, do not walk in their statutes. The understanding of this, the explanation of those psukim is found in this sifra, in the Medrash Halacha of Chumash Vayikra. Lo yamarti ela b'chukim hachakukim lehem l'avesim. I'm talking not about the fad or style where the people wear thick lapels or thin lapels, fat ties or skinny ties, tweed or herringbone. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, kind of like the tradition, these pagan traditions that have been bequeathed from generation to generation. The language of the Sifri is b'chukoseim l'salecho means shlo tahalcho b'nimusos shalahem, not to follow the etiquette that is kind of sacred and passed down. What does that mean? Dvarim achakukim lahem. So he says that means, for example, tartiyos. Tartiyos are stadiums. And karkosiyos, which is a place where the animals would kind of compete against each other, these colosseums, those ancient Roman colosseums. The istatrios, this was assembly halls, lecture halls, when this, they would speak about faith and whatever, pagan idolatry. So all of these are reasons that you come together and you gather for idolatrous purposes. They were always connected to idolatry in the pagan times. Rabbi Meir says, we refer here to Darke Emori, the Amorite customs, which the sages enumerated. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder says, Shalei Tinchar, which means you should not cut your hair in a particular way, like kind of like a crew cut or whatever, that has some kind of a specific ponytail that was grown for the purpose of the idol. And then there were certain days when you would cut off the ponytail as an act of homage and devotion to that particular deity. The Rambam says, quoting our sages, Ha'isa Dover Mikolelu, anybody who does any of these things, Chayiv Malkus, gets lashes. This is repeated a second time. The Torah says, Hishomer Lecha, better watch out, Penti Nokesh Achreim, lest you stumble after them and you follow them. The language of the three is Hishomer, is an expression of a lotase, of a negative commandment in our holy Torah. Whenever you have the word pen, lest, that too is a commandment indicative of a negative mitzvah that's being discussed over here. So here we have the notion of tinokesh acharehem, that you will stumble after them, shema tadamelehem, v'tasa kemaseim, v'yiyu l'chalomekesh. It doesn't mean that you will stumble after them. It means you will replicate their behavior, you will imitate the way they are living, and that will cause you to stumble, to become like them, chas v'shalom. And you will lose your Jewish tradition, you will lose your special Torah way of life. The Rambam says it could even be something like Hoyel Vehein Yetzim Bargomon, Afani Yetzim Bargomon. They use a certain purple color. You know, this is their way of dressing, this is the way they celebrate. So if I'm doing that too, I'm violating this mitzvah. It is written in the book of Tzfanya, Vahoyel Bayoimahu. It will come on that day. Ufakadati. God says, I will remember Al Hasarim Vavne Melech on the ministers, on the princes. Val Kol Halvushim Malbush Nochri. And all those pagan style clothing. So you see, even the clothing is an issue. Even that's a problem. Kolza, all of this, the Rambam says, L'shem Harchoko, is for the purpose of distancing us. Mehem, from them, and from their ways. Even b'malbush, even if there's a particular kind of clothing which is worn with some kind of religious devotion, that we're not allowed to do this. So we have to live the Jewish way. That's the bottom line. Otherwise, we violate this 30th mitzvah of the Torah. Mitzvah number 33. The Rambam says one is not permitted l'nachesh. What does this mean? To divine. The Rambam says, very interesting now, very interesting Sefer Mitzvahs. He says like this, the 33 mitzvah is, there are people who will say that if a certain person came back from the road in this fashion, oh, lo atzlich b'maseh, I will not be successful. Or, the first thing I see today is going to compel me to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to certainly do well today if my day starts this way. So you have making yourself these kind of signs, and you're using these signs to compel particular forms of behavior. The Rambam says this is a very widespread Eitzel hamone ha'amim v'hachsolim haskolim, amongst the masses, amongst the less educated and less well-endowed people. B'chol ha'oisa maisa al pi ha'nichush, anybody who does something, he responds, he feels compelled to act a certain way based on that divination. Like he receives lashes, as it says, le'yimatzeh b'chol. It's not allowed to be found amongst you, me'oinin u'mechashev. This commandment is repeated a second time in the Torah. In the 19th chapter of Chumash Vayikra, verse 26, it says, le'senachashu. The Sefri says, menachesh is a person who says, naflo piti mipi, a piece of bread fell out of my mouth, naflo makle miyadi, the stick fell out of my hand. Avar nachash mimini, a snake slithered by my right. Shul mismoli, there was a fox that walked by on my left. Etc. Like in today's day and age, black cats and rabbit's foots and walking on the ladders and floor number 13, all that kind of stuff. So the Rambam says, the Sifra, it tells us, that means people who are using all kinds of manners of trying to see from particular signs or things that happen or things that kind of unfold in a particular manner or fashion as indicative of a response on my behalf, and they should compel me to do a certain thing. This is prohibited. As is explained in the 7th chapter of Masechet Shabbos, and in the Tosefta, the Kadasan that was added on to Masechet Shabbos after the Mishnah was finished. Mitzvah Lamed Aleph, the 31st mitzvah of the Torah. Ha'azhara sheuz harnu, the warning the Torah gives us, miliksaim. What is kaisam? Kaisam means like a, means to use certain kind of behavior, like a charm. What does this mean? Rambam gets very detailed now. He says, this is la'idah es kecha ha'ashara. It's a person, some people have like intuition. They have a way, they have a sense of what's going to happen in the future. But in order for them to awaken this form of intuition, they have to do some very funny things. The Rambam says that sometimes people are born with a sixth sense. And because they have this sixth sense, they have to do something to tap into that inner rhythm. And it's very possible, the Rambam says, that oftentimes they're right. Now, what he's going to talk now sounds a lot like Ouija boards and tarot readers, card readers, palm readers, and things like this. Even though he doesn't use those exact words, you know, these things have perhaps changed a little bit over the ages. But because they do certain things, margishim mashayu, they have a premonition. They feel like they know what's going to happen. The Rambam says that the truth is it's a natural gift. Some people have an added sense. Some people are stronger than others. They're more athletic. Some people are more compassionate. Some people are more empathetic. Some people are intuitive. So these people have a sixth sense about things. But it seems that the people who have this sixth sense, in order to tap into that sixth sense, they have to do something in order to awaken that and to activate it. So some of them, the Rambam says, will be makeh b'matalaras, they'll keep banging the ground with some kind of stick. Bang it and bang it and bang, keep hitting the ground, and they'll be screaming and screaming and screaming. I think it's called drubbing. They'll be drubbing the ground and screaming all kinds of strange sounds. And in doing so, they cause their mind to be emptied. By the way, this is exactly, at least in some ways, I shouldn't say exactly in some ways, that's silly, right? But in certain systems, it is exactly what it is done in Easter meditation. That you do, like you say a mantra, or you move your body in a certain way, or you perform a particular activity again and again and again, and eventually you empty your mind, you become empty of everything else. And then that intuition or that sixth sense is able to operate freely because you are no longer mindful and fully cognitive. The Rambam says that this would be a violation of the 31st mitzvah of the Torah. Some people throw throw out little stones, little pebbles, on a leather kind of placemat. Umarech lahabet, they stare at the stones, stare excessively. And this is very well known. The Rambam says, in many places that I pass through, some people throw like a strip of leather on the ground and they stare at it, and then they can tell you things. Sounds very much like similar to the Ouija boards, as I said. Hakavana b'cholelo, the intention of all these things, la'edir es hakoyach sheyesh bo, to awaken the strength, the power that he has inside him. Leisha eisadavar ba'atzma pil mashu. The Rambam says, don't think that this activity makes it happen, that's what gives a person a sense of what is going to be unfolding in the future. No, it doesn't work like that. Oy moida al mashu, this is indicative of something. Zeu tos ha'amoin, this is the great mistake that the masses make. When the card reader, when the palm reader tells you things, and some of it actually seems so real and so compelling. That because they did this with a crystal ball or behaved in a certain fashion, that's how they know. And they continue to make this big mistake, thinking that certain things would cause them to live, causes things to happen, or makes things unfold in a particular way in the future. As the people who are very well versed in different forms of astrology. The Rambam says that mishpatei hakoychovim in an element asugazed, that this business of being involved in astrology and horoscope, I don't mean astrology as a science, I mean astrology as a way of trying to figure out the future or to decide how and when you will do certain things, right? Like horoscope concepts. This idea is an awakening of people's sixth sense or people's extra intuition, and that's really what it's all about, and that's prohibited. Now how to do this. The Rambam says, anybody who does one of these things, anything like this, is called a kosim, a charmer. And this kosim, this person who does these things, says, violating the Torah. God says, you're not allowed to have a person who does these kind of things. The Lashon Sifri is El Kosim, is a person who holds a stick, puts a stick back and forth trying to make a decision. It is about this exact kind of behavior that the Navi says, Ami be'etzig yishol, umakli yagadli. My nation has resorted to idolatry. They ask a stick what to do. His staff is speaking to him, so to speak, showing him what he should do in the future. However, a person who violates and performs these actions, chayiv malchus, it's a prohibited action. In other words, the kosim, the person who does these various kinds of things, whatever it may be, and then magad asidis, then tells you the future, like the maisa shoesa, through whatever activity is being performed, it violates this mitzvah. But loy hashayolas kosim, going to the card reader, going and finding out these things, that is not prohibited. And that is not, pardon me, the violation of this mitzvah. Having said that, even though the person who asks, who inquires from such an individual, he doesn't do it himself, but he goes and requires, even though he doesn't actually violate the 31st mitzvah, she'elas hakoisim, going and asking, megune me'oid, is extremely ugly. It's a despicable thing to do, says the Rambam. As this mitzvah is explained in many places in Masechet Sanhedrin, as well as the Tosefta of Masechet Shabbos, and in the Medrash Halacha of Chumash Devarim, the Sifri. The last mitzvah for today's shir is the 32nd prohibition of the Torah, Ha'azhara Shehuz Harnu, the warning of the Torah gives us, Melechavin Ma'aseinu B'b'chidas Hazmanim Alpima Arochas HaKechavim, that we should live our lives in accordance with astrological and horoscopes. This is what we call Yom Zeroi Lepula Pleini. This and this day, you should do this. This is appropriate for this kind of thing. And make sure you do this on that day. Or Yom Zed this day, lo rotzu lasas b'pula planes. It's not a good day to do this kind of thing. Nimzim lasoso, you have to avoid it. V'zehu amri Yisrael, this is what God says in his Torah, le'yimatza v'chad, shouldn't it be amongst you? Me'onein. Me'onein comes to the word one, time. This prohibition is repeated a second time in the Torah. It says, lo ta'onenu. This Ifri says, what does that mean? What does it mean, lo ta'onenu? He says, elo nosne itin. These are people who give times for things. Lafi shu nigzer min ona. In other words, he is compelled by a time. This is a good time for things. This is a bad time. Because a person who actively does these kind of things earns himself a set of lashes. In other words, who are we talking about? Who gets the lashes? He's the person who interprets horoscope and astrology and tells people what to do. Not the one who asks. Aval, similar to the previous mitzvah. Gama she'ela al davar, the person who asks. Asura noisef alayesim davar bilti amiti. Besides the fact that it is, the Rambam says, a bunch of baloney, it is prohibited for a person to do this. V'hamechaven maisav lizman mesuyim, a person who choreographs the actions that are taken to a specific time, chishuv sheyushar, that he thinks that this will be a fortunate time, or yatzliach, is going to be successful, b'sehapula, haregam zeleike, that person would also get lashes. It's very interesting. The previous mitzvah we learned, the one who asked the kosem about the future does not get lashes. He's just asking about the future. But in this mitzvah, we're talking about an action that's taken. Because the person who asked, the person who's looking at the horoscope, he's actually doing something. He's actually engaging in some kind of action, which the Torah prohibits. So he gets malchus also, because that's considered an actual violation of this Torah prohibition. Fisha asa maisa, because he performed an action. V'oid b'chlala maisa hazeh, isur maisa achizah sinayim. The Rambam has a fascinating shita. The Rambam's opinion is that magic, and perhaps in today's day and age, is different, because everybody knows that magic is just sleight of the hand. But once upon a time, people thought magic was actually a person with spiritual powers. So he says, to perform magic is also part of this 32nd prohibition of the Torah. As the Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, HaChachamim say, Me'onein, who is the Me'onein? Ze'ochez et ha'inayim. This is the person who cleverly fools the eyes. The art of deception, sleight of the hand. V'usug gadol misugi tachbulis. This is a great fence that prevents people from going down paths they shouldn't go and making some very big mistakes. V'nesav l'kach, kalas tnuas hayad, it's all based on the very swift and deft movements of a hand, but achin damanot v'ar bilti amit, and people start thinking that they actually pull a rabbit out of the hat, that they actually did something. And that is a problem. K'mesh anadoyim, shem eisim tamad, as we see they do all the time, shem mishu lekech chevel b'yodei, a person takes a rope in his hand, he places it into the corner of his garment. How cool is that? Rambam's describing a magic show from 850 years ago, right? So he puts a stick into his jacket, a rope, pardon me, and what does he pull out? Pulls out a snake. Or zerik tabas la'avir, he throws a piece of, a coin in the air. Then he goes over to somebody and takes it out of the guy's mouth. Very similar to today's magic. All these kind of things by Chizanayim, some Eitzla Amoy, which are known amongst the masses, Kol Maisei, Me'elu, Asr, all these things are absolutely prohibited. As I mentioned, many Paschim say today that magic in today's day and age, magic shows, are not in this genre because people know that it's sleight of the hand. They just need to figure out what the trick is. And as such, it does not lead people astray from the Torah or make them engage in idolatrous practices, or worship idols, and get involved with shamism, chas v'shalom. Person who does this, says the Rambam, who is using the sleight of the hand to fool people's eyes, And he makes like he's practicing black magic, where he has mastery over the physical, literal realities, the physiological existence of matter. He would get lashes. And besides the fact that the person is simply a dishonest individual. Rambam says that the result of this kind of magic practiced is a tremendous loss. He says it's a waste of time. He says only people who are foolish enough to believe them would follow this. Their mind cannot fathom how such a thing is possible, so they start thinking about the impossible being possible, and people able to have special powers, and that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. You need to understand this very, very well. As I said, today we're learning mitzvahs, but you should not take this halacha l'maisa. If somebody has learned sefer mitzvahs, hopefully you know when to ask a question. You know what is a question. It doesn't make you an expert in halacha when you learn sefer mitzvahs. At least you know about this. At least you're aware that this is part of the concept of l'seinu. And with this, we conclude the 15th shir of Rambam.